Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Hello, hello.
Hello. We are here.
We are here.
Yep.
And Nagashiva makes us sound so good. Thank you, Nagashiva. So tonight, tonight we will continue this month's theme of gods, angels, and other inspirations by talking about working with angels and archangels. So I think this is going to be a great topic. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to just talk about what's been going on with me this week so we can kind of ease into our topic here. I am up in the North Woods, and it's been alternately beautiful up here and alternately strange, weird weather. Earlier today, so we were out and there was this huge old pine that had died and we were cutting it down. And it was, oh man, this joker was really hard to cut down. Even though it was dead, it was hard to do. We had to do some maneuvering and use some pulleys and a bunch of other stuff. We're getting done with that, and we were stacking wood, and all of a sudden, it started raining just a little, but the sun was out, and it was just like, a couple little drops. I'm like, it's probably nothing. I just kept going, and then it started raining, like, torrential, and then as I'm running back to the house, it started hailing, and I'm like, what?
Oh my.
It was so bizarre, wow. Because I also looked at the weather radar, and it was so weird because it showed, some storminess going over, like, north of us. But then all of a sudden, this little green with an orange dot in the middle blob manifested out of nowhere and went over our area here. And so I was just like, that was like really a head scratcher because there was forecasted to be no rain here today. And so it was just like, okay, Mother Nature's saying, like, wake up. I've just mostly have been working with, the earth and, a lot of, moving stones around. There's a lot of, in northern Wisconsin, there's that whole, glacial hill and kind of a hilly area around here, in the forest. And so there's a lot of those kind of rounded, they look like rounded river rocks, even though they're not in the river. And they're just kind of nice to put, to stack, like, in certain points to help. I mean, it looks nice, but then it also, helps to prevent erosion. And we're kind of up on a hill, so I like that. Yeah, and so besides that, I've been doing mostly outdoor stuff, but also doing a couple of clients. And one of my really neat experiences is with my artist client, again, where I was actually doing a reading on her paintings, which are phenomenal.
Wow.
And it just like, yeah, it, that is just has been a really unique, very, very cool experience. Where in one of her paintings, I actually felt like I was so entranced. I was like going into the painting, and it's a lot of her art is very geometric. And, but it has also a lot of hidden layers in it. And so very, very cool. Very neat experience.
Wow.
You know, and then a few orders and stuff like that. But how was your week, Elvira?
Well, it's been busy, which I'm very happy about. I wound up trying to get things coordinated on the weekend with my daughter, and they had gone camping. It's funny you talk about rain. They had gone camping. They decided they were going to leave like Friday afternoon. They were going up to a local little area off of one of their rivers, and Aurora, my granddaughter, was going to go with them, and they were going to do a tent up and everything. And so, you know, as was the case, they didn't have enough tent pegs, so I thought, oh, I'll get some of mine, but I couldn't get into my carport closet, so I ran to the hardware store and got it. And so when I came over and we had lunch and kind of just chit-chatted for a little bit before they're getting ready to leave, I gave them their tent pegs, and off they went, and that was great. And I kind of had said to her when we were having lunch that I kind of saw a little bit of, you know, rain in the area, and I didn't make a big deal about it because, you know, they don't want to have anybody naysay their trip, so I kind of left it alone. When she came back, she told
me
the story.
With nature.
Yeah, well, she communed with nature. She wound up, you know, getting out of the tent to go to the bathroom, and then she was going to, you know, hang out in a little bit outside, and it was just starting to drip a little bit, not a lot. And then suddenly it was a downpour, and she couldn't get back into the tent because of the way the tent opening, she would have opened it and all the rain would have come in, so she had to go into the car and wait and then get back. And because the tent itself hadn't been, you know, it wasn't resurfaced for being, you know, water resistant, so it was beginning to leak a little, but they were able to get through that. And then the next morning, you know, they got up and, you know, went and huddled around in the water and everything. But I when she told me that, my brain just went, you were right. It was there. You just, you know, you know, nature, she had to commune with the water and nature. I thought that was kind of interesting. And she was laughing about it because, you know, what are you going to do? You know, either, I said, did you guys run and go into the car because the tent was leaking? And she says, no, we, you know, it wasn't that bad. And it was only at the foot of, you know, where their little mattress was, where everybody was at. So I put up. But the rest of the week has been, you know, productive and stuff like that, little glitches here and there, but nothing really traumatic. Oh, I should have to say, there was something traumatic.
Uh-oh.
I forgot all about
it.
Yeah. Yes, this is one of those where we had some emergency trucks up on Saturday, like 2 in the morning, okay? And my neighbor said, can you see better out of your window what's going on? Because we have like one road in and that's about it. So we were looking and I gave them some information, and it turns out somebody, one of the elderly people in the house had fallen. The other couldn't help. So they called the, you know, the emergency people. Okay. Sunday, I am at my daughter's house talking to her and enjoying her telling me it's rain. And my same neighbor calls me and says, I need to let you know that there's going to be some, you know, police and an ambulance and everything down at the bottom on the little road, because you come into the main thing and it kind of has a turnoff road, and then the main road kind of comes up and you know, kind of turns a little bit and becomes the upper road. And I go, okay, fine. And so, you know, that was where we left it. And he said, but I need to tell you that the person in the house died, and they passed away 3 days ago, so it's pretty intense for, you know, the people getting in there. So I said, okay, fine. And so I'm sitting here kind of going, okay, that the upper road had our little thing, and then the lower road had it. And I'm just like going, well, you know, what do you get when you have community that has a bulk of seniors in it, you know? I mean, it just happens mm-hmm. to be part of the sidebar, because that was what it was like when I was in the mobile home park that was a senior park. So I just went, mm-hmm. okay, you know. But this woman had been, for the last few weeks, had been going on about how she wanted to leave. She didn't want to be here. She wanted to be taken up, you know, to leave the body. And so, you know, some of the neighbors were mm-hmm. telling, you know, had said, this is what's going on. So I kind of went, okay. So that was our, you know, it was a drama. It was not a big drama. Mm-hmm. We didn't have, you know, horrible things, but it was transitional. And so I kind of was like, okay, now we can have mm-hmm. the rest of our week, which is going to be basically a lot of hot, you know, temperatures and, you know, kind of all of that. So, and then we have Father's Day at the end of the week. You know, so that'll be right. barbecues yeah. and everything with everybody, so that'll be fun. So
yeah,
that's been my
yeah.
week.
Wow, yeah, talk about a lot of little ups and downs and all around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we are going to be talking about angels and archangels and some of the like how they operate and some of the ways that maybe we can work with them. And because this is such a vast topic, I'm sure there's things that I am not bringing into this. Like I don't have a handle on like the hierarchy. But I had to choose kind of a jumping off point somewhere. And so,
oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to kind of start out with kind of describing angels and kind of go from there. And so angels are a class of supernatural beings that are thought to act as intermediaries between the divine and humanity. And for the most part, they're benevolent creatures. But they are also, like, extremely complex and sometimes be a little scary. A lot of info comes down from Christian angelology. When we, you know, think about things from a biblical perspective, we do get a fair amount of information from there. Although we don't, please do not need to be Christian or any other religion to appreciate the deep and fascinating magical lore surrounding these beings. This is, you know, probably one of the most interesting non-human entities. And so there's a number of angelic species. And there's, you know, some that are rarely talked about. And most are not known to be like the images that we traditionally see, like in paintings or even on our angel oracle cards. And I just happen mm-hmm. to have some cards right here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's actually, just a side note here, these oracle cards are Ask Your Guides by Sonia Pochette. I'm not sure if I ever say her name right, but she has been around for a long time, and those are some really kind of neat cards. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to focus on how angels operate and kind of what some of their inner workings are and maybe how some of them think or behave and what kind of powers do they have and how do we work with them. And so... So it's interesting, angels are mentioned about 200 times throughout the Bible, and that's split about 50-50 between the Old and the New. But even with that amount, there's very few descriptions of how they look, and there's even fewer explanations of their nature and how they operate. And in the documented accounts, the focus is usually not on the angel, but kind of more on the angel's message or the angel's revelation. And so in modern times, you know, angels are often seen as endearing, and you just being patient and compassionate and loving. And ironically, that does not match most of the angels in the Bible. So mm-hmm. I just put that out there. Their behavior, heavenly priorities, and their hidden nature is kind of worth taking a closer look at. So one more biblical thing I'll just say is experiences of angels have often been reported as frightening. It's interesting to note that the first thing that an angel usually says in a visitation is either be not afraid or don't be afraid or fear not. And that is noted 144 times, which is more than any other heavenly instruction. And if we think about that in comparison to the 72 times that people are directed to love God, it kind of makes it kind of even more pronounced. So the experience of angels can be very uplifting, but I think we need to realize that they are very powerful and they are very immense. Sometimes they can appear regular looking, like humans, but this seems to be the exception. The very few explicit descriptions of angels tend to be more kind of bizarre and not human-like. Some have even interpreted them as possible visitations from extraterrestrials or interdimensional beings. And this might be because some of these heavenly creatures are described as having like 100 eyes. And so how about you, Elvira? What, I know you've got some very insightful things to say about angels in general.
Well, one of the things, obviously, that, you know, we realize that angels, created as beings of pure consciousness, and so they're deathless entities, basically without time or space. And, you know, they're a focus of power, wisdom, love, and they're an emanation of the god-goddess. Now, obviously, they're the deity, the divinity. And with the concept of, you know, channeling without distortion the divine light and carrying messages to humanity, which is interesting because, again, we're talking the higher vibrational energies that they're dealing, have to be lowered to, you know, communicate with the human realm. And I think it's what you were saying about, you know, the 100 eyes and, you know, things like that, is that because they are such high vibrational, high energy, that they radiate such light comes out of their beings that, you know, their rays or waves. So you can see they look like feathers or eyes. And so, you know, being able to work with them or have them come to you is to realize that it may not be, that's why they say fear not, because they know they're coming in a form that is going to be very intense. And I know they're messengers of light, obviously, and minister to the souls on earth as guides and guardians and friends. And it's interesting because their nature enables them to infuse matter with the constructive qualities of divine consciousness, which brings about profound changes that transform a person's body and soul. And they do this through, you know, again, thinking of our bodies, they do it through what we would call the molecular level, and that would then alter the matter that is the human and the neurons and the brain and the nervous system and all of that, which result in what we would call miracles, what become called miracles. So they're working from this high level up there, and they're moving this energy around. And it's fascinating because, obviously, you know, we look at angels specifically, as you know, we have the guardian angels, and we have, you know, the which are more signed for more individual beings on earth, but then you have the different levels of cherubim and seraphim and, you know, Yazidi, and there are different versions for different cultures. Now, the Hebrew, you know, the Jewish culture, the Hebrew tradition, the Zoroastrian, you know, there's all these ones that have the levels. And as you said, that becomes real complex. So keeping it as a, I don't want to say generic, but a more personal process with angels, they're, I think, set up to deal more commonly with the humanity. And I suspect that, you know, there's a lot of things that they are able to help us with. And sometimes we've given them names, you know, Angel of Victory and Angel of Peace and, you know, things of that nature. And that's, you know, kind of my personal experience I didn't necessarily think it was a guardian angel, but an angel was when I was, you know, 13, I was riding my bike and my friend was behind me and we were crossing the street to go into my family's driveway, and a lady was driving her car and was busy with something that happened in the back with her kids, and she didn't see me and she hit me. And of course I rolled up onto the front of the hood and then rolled off, and of course my friend never got hit. She had stopped because I was the forefront, and I'm on the ground. And of course people are stopping, and I try to stand up and obviously I can't. And this lady out of nowhere comes and she says, "I'm a nurse, and don't move." And, you know, she was very calm and very, you know, like there, and kept me from, you know, like totally losing my cookies. And then my parents had heard it, and so they came running out, and of course the ambulance and everything. She could never be found. She was there and she was gone. And I know that that was an encounter, though I didn't necessarily place it at that, because 13, trying to deal with all that was going on. But yeah, I mean, that to keep you from losing the necessities, keep you in line, keep you safe for, you know, that. I mean, obviously, if we know the names of the archangels or we know the class that they are in, we can call on them and know that, you know, they will come help. But angels have a tendency to be more interactive. You can invoke them, but they're more interactive with, you know, the energies of the humans. So it's different than archangels. But I think that kind of gives you an idea, at least from my perspective, where the angelic realm actually functions. Is it's more closely connected with the human, you know, element here. And I think, you know, that's it. That's on my side.
I think that, you know, so there's, you know, I think the biggest takeaway is that there are many types of angels of varying qualities. But they're all, they can all be thought of as aspects of the divine source, of a really high vibrational energy, and we can summon them, or we can call them, or we can petition them. But just like what you were saying, sometimes they will appear uninvited, you know, in a time of need. And so we know just from the little bit we said that they're not, you know, they're not fluffy bunnies floating on a cloud with strumming a ukulele or whatever. Well, and many of them are massive. You know, they're just, and have very powerful voices. And some of them are odd-looking. Some of them have hundreds of eyes, many heads. Some appear dragon-like. And then others might appear as fractal designs of spinning fire.
Right.
So, you know, and like you were saying, I think that all angelic beings are thresholds of consciousness and power. And it seems to be that they're meaning of, some occultists believe that emotions are not so much a part of their makeup, save for love and duty.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say a quick word about guardian angels before we break is that there's a widely held belief that each person has a guardian angel. And it's thought that each person carries that spark of the divine within them and that the guardian angel is connected to that spark. And another common belief is that a person's guardian angel is with them from the time of birth and will remain with them for life. So their main role is to serve as like a guide and protector. So I think you definitely had a guardian angel show up. And one other thing I just want to say before we bounce into the next part of it is that because guardian angels are not as overwhelming in their power as archangels are, the whole of their being can be worked with. And that's where I think that things happen where people have like, you know, in a catastrophe or accident or something that somebody shows up and helps them. And, you know, to connect with angelic beings, we can always, I think if we just get into, a relaxed state, set our intention to call on them, I think it's that they're very easy to connect with. We got just a couple minutes here before we have to break. Do you have any other thoughts on guardian angels or angelic guides or angels in general?
Well, obviously there's many movies that have been made, and of course the one that comes to mind is one that's around Christmas time is Bishop's Wife with Cary Grant. And I think that even if you take it out of script form and all of that, it's when there is a need. There is a need, whether you know that need, you may have, because humans, we're very focused on, immediacies of, something, and the need may be even deeper or maybe personal that we are in, we have that. And I think that's when a guardian angel, makes themselves known, or an angel that is part of the certain threshold that is there will help, will come in. And, if they have to take a human form, I'm sure that is something they are very capable of doing, even though, as I say, films and things of that nature have utilized that concept. But I believe that there's a piece of truth in that. I had it happen. I know I did.
Yeah. I love hearing about experiences like that. I'll share an experience I have later on. But it is time for us to take a little break. But we'll be right back to take a deeper look into the topic of working with angels and archangels. So break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
I love that.
Hey, we are back.
Yes.
And ready to talk further about angels and archangels. Elvira, want to lead us off with talking about, jumping into archangels.
Oh, I will jump into archangels. I won't jump with them. I'll just sort of be next to them, okay? I know. First of all, the definition of archangel is arche, principal or chief, and angelos, which is winged messenger. So obviously that definition of what it is part of what we were talking about, the presence of their energy and how it radiates, whether it's an angel or an archangel. And basically they make... They're the chief messengers of the divine being, i.e. God, goddess, and basically are formed of pure light and force and energy, which rises their moniker to Lords of Flame, which you can understand when you consider that these big, huge energy pattern beings are showing that flaming kind of energy. And then you have... Another version is the Elohim, which, of course, the version of archangels, it's another way of talking about them. And they're usually, the Elohim are considered the 7 primary archangels and are the ones that are like head honchos that act as agents to execute the Creator's will. And we can get into that and, you know, whether we want to name them or not. But the suffix, and this is the thing, is El, E-L, means of God. And there are archangels, and if you'll note how they're always, you know, the last part of their name is got an E-L. So, you know, each one has a meaning, and then it's of God. And I would have to go of God, goddess, just to feel comfortable. And there are 2, though, and there's probably more, but there are 2 that are very... prominent, we'll be talking about them later, come with the suffix of O-N and not E-L. And that basically is showing that the origin of that energy, that archangel, is an origin of a human prophet that has been elevated into the higher realm. And Sandalphon is one and Metatron is the other, and we'll both talk about that later. But they all, archangels, existed prior to, obviously, humanity. And one of the things I did want to share, which is kind of interesting, because I had been going through all of these different aspects of, you know, information, and I found a lot that I had stuffed in a box. And one of them is the archangels and the chakras. And that one kind of, you know, because there are certain archangels that are attached to the 7 chakras. And interesting enough, we have Archangel Shamiel, who is the several versions of what he does. He being does is the angel of love. Color is red, and basically the base chakra. Archangel Zadkiel is the violet flame or the violet chakra, and is the crown. So it's like one above and below, and then you kind of have the solar plexus chakra. 3rd is Jophiel, and of course Michael or Michael is the throat chakra. Raphael is basically the 4th chakra.
Which one is Michael? Which one is
Michael?
Michael
is the throat chakra. Throat
chakra. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And then Raphael is the heart chakra. And Uriel is basically the 3rd eye. Now, this is, again, we're talking about people's definitions and moving things, just like we were talking about the names and where their derivations are and things of that nature. And I would have to say that it without being written in stone, that this is the only way, I feel that that is a good guide, and we can take it from that point of reference, because we all know that, you know, a lot of us know that Archangel Raphael is used to, you know, work with healing and, you know, animals as well as humans and physical, emotional, and spiritual bases. And
I call on that one a lot.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And, of course, Michael is, you know, he is basically the guardian of areas and careers and, aspirations, but protector of home, property, family, loved ones. And, you know, first, and he is the, quote, head of the head chief archangel is how a lot of times he is described in terms of that. And, of course, you know, we use certain ones for the different directions, you know, and correspondences. Archangel Michael is, you know, fire, and Archangel Gabriel is water, and Archangel Raphael is, you know, air, and, you know, Archangel Uriel is earth. And, you know, again, we have correspondences and lots of different, you know, charts and things, but you kind of have to get a feel of it, and then I feel that you get to, it's your way of speaking to them, okay? Because you have to invoke archangels. You have to ask them to help. They're, you know, you invoke or petition them. Rather than with angels, they seem to have more of a, you know, they're kind of there, and they kind of walk in and go, well, it looks like we're being called over here to help. So you still have to ask, but not without being formal. But with archangels, you have to be more formal. And I feel that, you know, it's kind of like you go up and you say, may you please help me, kind of a thing. You don't command them. I think that is a part of our ego that gets in there. I command you, you know, that kind of thing. But if you work with them, you kind of get a feel of how they respond. And I find that working with, and I do work with archangels. Don't work as much with angels in a formal way, but archangels are definitely something, and it's kind of weird because my name, Elvira, has E-L in it. So it has a certain connection, and I never really thought about that as per se, but then when I started doing a lot of, you know, research and things, I began to look at this, and I'm going, okay. So it kind of came as let's start talking to archangels then and see what they have to say to me, kind of a thing. So, and I know that at one point I did a workshop on archangels and angels for at the time it wasn't really called the Hoodoo's Heritage Festival. It was, I think, the Hoodoo Psychic Festival, it's been so long and everything is modified.
Yeah.
But that was a workshop I did on the Lucky Mojo premises when they were doing it. And,
looked like that was a great workshop. And it is in the red folder.
But that led me to start to do more research, and as I said, when I found the box of the research, I was like, oh my goodness, what do I have here? A treasure trove. So I'm going to leave you to get ready to talk about, you know, the next level, and, you know, we'll go from there, but thank you for letting me kind of get into this, because it is actually, even though I'm very much part of, you know, the witchy, you know, pagan point of reference, this sort of came into my world, and I found that there was a resonance there.
You know, that's interesting, because it seems to me like a lot of different religions, a lot of different spiritualities, and a lot of witches and spirit workers, there's so many people that do believe and work with angels. And so I think that that's, you know, just kind of one of the amazing aspects about them. Mm-hmm. I know, I just want to say a little bit before I jump into Sandalphon, but one of the many occult philosophies is that an archangel is made up of many fragments, which are all the same being. So the extent and magnitude of their energy operates on a much greater scale of influence. Mm-hmm. And so an archangel, all these different fragments, some people refer to it as they are like hive beings, but it's all the same being. And so as humans, it's often just a fragment or a small part of the archangel that we are actually working with, because any
right.
more than that would really probably overwhelm us.
yes.
Yeah. And I like what you said about, you know, the four, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. And Uriel, one of the things I saw about Uriel and that I kind of understood from before that I petitioned him for, him, her, I think they're androgynous really, but is that Uriel is also known as a being of higher spiritual wisdom and can be called upon as a teacher of higher understanding, especially during times of division and political strife. And so I thought, I've been calling on him actually a little bit lately. We'll
I wonder why.
A little more.
So
anyway, moving on to Sandalphon. The Sandalphon is very special to me. So the Sandalphon is an archangel and is believed to have started life as a human and as the prophet Elijah. And so this is highly unique and is only, this origin is known only to Sandalphon and to the archangel Metatron. So the name Sandalphon means whole brother. And so due to Sandalphon and Metatron having human origins, they're both, they are thought of as spiritual brothers. So because of the Sandalphon and Metatron's human origins, they're often thought to be a little more approachable. And in some occult practices, where banishments, exorcisms, or things like that, that are kind of more, I would say more stressful, are performed by occultists that are cloaked in a fragment of the Sandalphon, which is kind of an interesting thing if you think about it, to protect us as humans performing the exorcism or the banishment, and also to facilitate the movement of unwanted spirits back into the abyss. And so when we think of like working with deity, lots of times we'll think of drawing deity into us and allowing their energy to flow through us. And I've been taught that if you approach the Sandalphon with a need to help somebody else, that they will always help you. And if you have to work with any kind of negative or evil spirits, the Sandalphon, if you ask, they will cloak you in their energy, which is a very neat aspect about them. And so just a little about Sandalphon is in rabbinic lore, Sandalphon is so big that his size strikes fear into the heart of Moses when the prophet is taken into heaven to receive the Torah. And the Sandalphon is known as the weaver of prayers and fights against evil spirits. That's one of his jobs, and he shares that job with the Archangel Michael. And the Sandalphon is also thought to determine the sex of the unborn. And so the Sandalphon's abode is placed variously in the third, sixth, or seventh heavens. And in Islamic lore, the Sandalphon is located in the fourth heaven. So I guess it depends on what kind of map you use. You know, like some people will use different maps in their astral travel. Some people use Tree of Life. I think that that might be what's referring to. But the Sandalphon, I would just say I had an experience, which is kind of odd. And I think I might have shared this once before, but it would be really appropriate to share here. So I had started studying more recently about, well, recently, like 10 years ago, about the Sandalphon. But now I'm going to take us back into like the summer of 92. And I was driving on a two-lane highway north of Madison in Wisconsin. And I was, you know, looking, I didn't have any money to buy any land, but I was looking around. And so I was driving out in the middle of the woodlands with my four kids. And they were all, you know, younger then. They were between the ages of like 7 and 14. And so we were kind of out in the middle of nowhere on this bright sunny day around 2 p.m. And oddly, three of the four kids, who were usually very hyperactive, they all fell asleep, except for my son, Justin, who was about 11 at the time. So we're out in the middle of nowhere, and this strange sound of, I would say it was like music, because I don't know what else to call it, like totally filled the car. And it wasn't music like what's typically called music. The only thing I can think of that even comes a little close to it is kind of like some New Age stuff or some of the recordings of the planetary sounds. But back in 92, I don't think there was really much of that around. But it was a series of sounds that had a musical quality to it. And anyway, so I thought my son Justin had turned the radio on, so I said, turn that radio off, because I found it distracting. And he reached for the knob, and then he looked at me and said, it's not on. And I was like, can you hear that music? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, where's it coming from? And he shrugged. It's like, and then I tried the radio to make sure, and it wasn't the radio. And so this quote-unquote music stayed with us for at least 10 or 15 minutes while I drove about 60, 65 miles an hour down the highway in the middle of the North Woods of Wisconsin, which is literally in the middle of nowhere. And so it's never happened again, and I've never found another person besides my son who was with me at the time having that kind of an odd experience. But what was really interesting is, you know, I never really knew what it was, but I started doing like a lot of astral journeying about 10 or 12 years ago. And I started doing the journey, you know, into the abyss and stuff. And there, the Sandalphon are the guardians of the abyss. And when I encountered them in my journeying, they opened their mouths. And when they started to talk, it sounded like the music that I heard back in the car in 1992. And I was like,
whoa.
I was like, that's what that is? And I was like,
wow.
Whoa. And so, yeah, that it still gives me goosebumps to think about that. So I know that you have some very interesting things to tell us about Metatron.
Metatron, yes. Actually, it's interesting. First of all, Metatron is it's interesting because he's basically considered the entrance to the spheres of the Kabbalistic tree because he's Kether, as Sandalphon is basically Malkuth, which is the aspect of physical incarnation. And I kind of was, you know, he's spoken to me. Not energetically, but I mean the information and connecting with him because, I mean, he's basically considered a watchman. And it's interesting because one of one of the things that talks about who he is, what, you know, kind of like chart, is that his planet is Earth and his color is white, but his animal is unicorn. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. And I'm like, even if it is maybe a little kind of questionable at some point, and, you know, his stone is diamond and the, you know, frankincense, but his thing is enlightenment and transcendence and his, you know, holistic consciousness. And I was, you know, kind of going, okay, and his time is now, and he works with the elementals and the angels. So he is obviously angels versus archangels. Now, his natural, you know, he's powerful. He acts as a celestial scribe to the Book of Life and keeps track of all the choices made by earth and divine, earthly and divine beings. And he basically, you know, as I say, serves as a guide to humanity. He is the spokesperson, you know, in terms of for the god, the goddess, and, you know, is part of that. But he also has the ability to bypass and erase any sort of wrongdoing, okay? Kind of, and he's also the sole archangel with the first hand knowledge of the contents of the various tablets having been taken as, dictation of the word of God, goddess. So he's he has all, you know, I think, you know, we would call it Akashic records. He's basically all of, he has all that within his energy field. And I found the we call it the Metatron cube. It's the 13 circles, and, you know, it's a symbol with connected lines that are part of it. And he works, and this is the part I love, he works with sacred geometry. So that cube is a blueprint of creation. And basically it symbolizes balance and harmony, illuminating how all of life is connected. And I, you know, we don't have a way to show people the Metatron's cube or any of that, you know, process, but it's the patterns within patterns. And, you know, working with universal forces and esoteric healing, time management, time warping, you know, because he is in Kether. He is in the spirit realm before manifestation. So I, you know, I haven't had, I've had experiences where I've connected to that consciousness of that being, but not a personal visitation. And obviously, you know, you have the different abilities to work with it. He kind of works with Archangel Michael, because Archangel Michael is considered at some point in this process as a high priest, and Metatron is the structure of the tabernacle itself. So it's interesting that he holds things, but he is without necessarily super solidified structure. So I'm kind of amazed that energy, you know, kind of works with the fact that I've got a statue of him. You know, when I did the angels and archangel workshop, I went and got, you know, casting, be able to go get things, you know, and so I got the archangels that, you know, were the four, and then Archangel Metatron, and I was, you know, he's there. And I've had an experience with an archangel, Archangel Michael. I had gotten, I had gotten some poison oak, and it was pretty bad. And so I had, you know, done the bath, and, you know, I was lying there, and it was hot, and I was, you know, I was the heat of the poison oak on my body and everything. And I was just lying there on the couch in the living room, and I was kind of just staring, and all of a sudden I saw this huge, angelic being, a being, and he was taking his hands and moving it from below above. And it was like moving the fire, the heat, and he was moving it off of me. And I knew it was Archangel Michael because, you know, he had a certain look. And I was like, mm-hmm. you're taking the fire off of me, the fire of the smoke. So it was no conversation, just an experience. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, you think of yourself as not having, you know, like, oh, I was, you know, probably a little delirious. No, it was very much, you know, a connection. And later you kind of go through it. Plus, like you get sort of a secondary acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. So, right. But that's it. I know we're kind of coming close to time.
Well,
so
we're coming close. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to, like, for a quick 30 seconds, just mention one angel that I feel bad that I did not mention. And that's just the, and they're known as the lightning of God. And just know that these angels are associated with lightning and can be only approached with a clear and faithful heart, but they possess a swift and powerful strike of justice and will protect the innocent and rebalance the scales in cases where curses or black magic have been worked against someone. So that's just just wanted to mention the Barakiel before we end up closing here. Do you have any last word?
Nope. I think I've spoken a lot, and I appreciate that. And as I said, let us just move to the next level of timing.
So much wonderful stuff. Okay, so we are going to start wrapping up here, and I just want to say for readings or root work, you can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. You can also find Elvira online at www.elvira.com. And also, you can find her at www.milk-and-honey.com. And you can find me, Deb, on my website at www.bewitchingbee.com. And so, for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Well, and goodbye from me to all of our people out there. Till next time.
Yeah. So this wraps up the show tonight. Next week, Thursday, we will rebroadcast the Summer Solstice LIFA show. And then the following week, you will find Elvira and I back on the show live with the topic, Stoking the Fire of Our Manifestation. So until next time, my magical friends, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.